The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. One fall!
It's almost time for a new chapter of Geek Catch-Up to start. But before it does, Chris and I wanted to take a moment to send our love and appreciation out to all of you for choosing to hang out with us. If you enjoy Geek Catch-Up, then make sure to slam that subscribe button and help us level up the show by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform.
You can also find us on social media to get updates on all things GK, interact directly with us, and content from the world of geekery. Geek Ketchup Podcast on Facebook and YouTube, at Geek Ketchup Pod on Instagram and Twitter, links to all of which can be found in the show notes below and on our website, geekketchuppodcast.com.
If you'd like to support the shoe, there's even links to our Square shop where you can find official GK merchandise like shirts and stickers. And Patreon, if extra content is your thing. Above all, though, the absolute best thing you can do is spread the love for the world of geekery by sharing the Geek Catch-Up podcast with your friends and family.
Now get ready to enjoy today's show, and as always, remember to stay saucy.
If it's nerdy, we're into it.
Gaming, movies, television, wrestling, comics, whatever. We are Kyle Eckert and Chris Heck, two lifelong friends with a passion for the world of geekery.
And this is the Geek Catch-Up Podcast.
What's good, Geek Catch-Up family? I'm Kyle Eckert.
And I'm Chris Heck.
And you are listening to Season 3, Chapter 49. We're so close to that 50th chapter milestone, you can almost taste it. But before we get there, we've got to handle business here in Chapter 49. And speaking of business, the GK Merch Shop is currently running a 20% off sale for the holidays. Use the promo code GEEK at checkout. The sale is open until December 31st, 2021, so get those orders in now. Now let's look ahead, because in today's chapter, we're discussing the video game releases on the horizon in 2022. Chris and I will review some of the top titles that we're eyeing up, including one or two that we may have already pre-ordered. However, before we can chat about games we'll be playing in the future, we need to talk about games we're playing right now. So, Chris, what have you been playing lately?
I've been into a couple different ones, some of the bigger titles that have come out on Xbox lately, and then one really obscure one that has actually proven to be pretty fun. So, you know, a little while back, Forza Horizon 5 came out, jumped in on that, hadn't played a racing game in a couple of years. Was looking to get that fix, and wasn't a whole lot else out, right? So why not download it off the old Game Pass?
And it got like a perfect score.
Yeah, 10 out of 10 from IGN and really high marks pretty much from all the review sites. So was super intriguing. And the Horizon games, if you haven't played them, are a little bit more unique. They're not just that single player or couch co-op racing experience. It's almost like an MMO.
Okay.
Yeah, they build a huge map. All sorts of other people are out there live racing around, you know, you can run into each other or you can see each other, you know, flying around at 200 miles an hour if you want. And then you jump in and out of races, plus all sorts of other stuff that you can do. So just a ton of fun, you know, really well made, really enjoyed that. But the random one that I mentioned was called the Rift Breaker. And I just want to give it a little shout out because it's really obscure. But random Game Pass find, if you will, you know.
Well, say you have a history of finding random games either based on cover art or just a random download, so I'm intrigued.
This one is a futuristic, like, real-time strategy base-building type game.
Okay.
So you get dropped into, like, an alien planet. You're a highly trained, I guess, mercenary or something like that in, like, a mech warrior suit. And you're going around starting to build a colony and find resources and, you know, all the stuff that comes with those RTS-type games. But what was really cool about it is that, you know, there's a really deep upgrade system for, you know, technologies to research and things like that as you go. But it also builds in kind of a Diablo top-down combat system. So as you're building, you may have to defend your base from waves of alien hordes, and you're pretty much in like a mech warrior, like thinking about those types that were like in the Matrix 3 when they're, you know, down in Zion and they're defending them. So you have like some guns, you got some melee weapons, and so it's like live action at the same time, and just everything worked, and it's got good gameplay, good building, it's got a good look, like very futuristic look. So really been enjoying that.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. It almost sounds like a blend of like those mechs that you see in the Matrix, but also from like Avatar.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's as soon as you said futuristic, you're going to an alien planet to mine resources, I'm like, oh shit, he's playing Avatar.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah, that would be kind of a way to look at it, you know, because you definitely are on this alien planet with these crazy colors. Yeah, somewhat Pandora-like. I could see that.
Yeah.
But really cool. So if you're out there looking for a random game off Game Pass, I wanted to give that the shout out because I don't think anybody's heard of it, you know?
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever heard of it. It's like an indie developer? Or?
Yeah, indie developer. Probably was on PC for a while and then got ported over to Xbox, if I had to guess, because it's kind of point-and-clicky, even though I am using the controller. And, you know, that seemed to be fine. But was really getting into that as I was waiting for the last one I'm going to call out here. And that's why I'm kind of bouncing through them kind of quickly here is Halo Infinite's campaign dropped on Wednesday, just a couple days ago. And since then, that has really been what I've been diving into and trying to see, you know, what 343 Industries is bringing us with this highly anticipated and long awaited return of the Halo franchise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Halo franchise is such an icon. Like an iconic game for so many people in around our age. Like it is the very first game that they probably owned and played on an Xbox. To see it return to form, and it feels like everywhere I look, somebody's playing it or singing the music or making a TikTok or something crazy like that. Has it lived up to the hype for you?
Yeah, it's back in a big way. They dropped the multiplayer a couple weeks ago in a surprise. You know, they got that out early and so had been playing some of that with some friends. I think at one point was even like a 10-person party in doing some of the big format games. And so that was a ton of fun. I've said a few times that I think 20-year-old Chris would kick my ass right now because of how bad I was compared to how yeah. good I was back in the day. You know, college dorm rooms sitting around whooping people.
Yeah.
But I was mostly interested in how they were going to do this campaign because there was all this talk about it being open world and, you know, just kind of a newer experience in the Halo versus what a lot of pretty much most of the previous games, especially the core line of Halo games, were very linear, level to level, move through a story, and then you got all that replayability with the skulls and co-op and multiplayer and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And then, of course, you know, couple months back or maybe last year when Microsoft tried to debut some footage of it, there was a whole lot of controversy because it looked horrible.
Right.
So was really intrigued to see how it goes. And I'll say my jury's still a little out. I'm maybe 5 hours into it. And so far it's a little weird. Like it's beautiful. The gameplay's awesome. Like everything you would expect. They really hit those notes really well. The world is just huge. But it is kind of odd. The opening was really weird. Like it gave you like no, it almost like assumed that you just remembered everything from Halo 5 6 years ago.
Okay.
And so it was almost like a cold open. It worked, but like I was curious if people today would be like, what the hell is going on if they hadn't played the old ones, you know?
Yeah.
Because it kind of just picks right up.
Metroid Dread did that as well.
That's true, yeah.
No filler. Like, if you're not experienced with the franchise, too bad. Maybe we'll give it to you later.
Yeah, that is totally true. And it was kind of the same thing here, but I'm just interested so far. Jury's still out is how I'm looking at it. Too soon, even though I am enjoying it. It's just odd because it's like this huge open world. There's a whole lot of like navigating around has been a little bit weird. Like, you know, you can fall off the map a lot and stuff, but you know, where you're going around, you're hitting different waypoints, you're collecting things. And so it's just a different vibe for Halo. And I'm not yet 100% sure that I'm like, yeah, they crushed this or if it's, you know, good try, you know,
yeah.
So we're still waiting to see, but I think I would put it on the, if you're a Halo fan, if you have that nostalgic love for Master Chief, then still worth a pick up and play.
Gotcha. Yeah, why not? I mean, they tried something new. It's either going to work or they're going to have to go back to the original formula for the next one.
Exactly.
And I don't mind when companies do that. You know, give me something different. Try something new. If it sticks, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we'll probably chat about it a little later as we talk about future games. Like God of War did that.
Right.
But they totally uprooted the formula for their games and it ended up working. So sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I think it's just kind of caught. The last thing I'll say, I think it's just kind of caught in a weird spot because they didn't launch the co-op yet. And the map is so big, and of course, there's always the comparisons to Destiny and, you know, Destiny to Halo and Halo to Destiny now.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like they were trying to go in that direction without committing to the MMO thing. So, like, the map just feels a little too big for just one person running around. You know, like you set the next waypoint, it's like 800 meters away.
Yeah.
And so, like, just some of those are just, it's just feeling a little odd right now. Maybe it'll work itself out. And I know co-op's coming later next year, but I think maybe they might be caught in between some things versus maybe a full commit one way or the other.
Right.
So we'll have to see.
And it doesn't give you the Red Dead option where you set like a waypoint that's on the other side of the map and you can go into a cinematic ride mode while you get up and use the bathroom.
No. You got to walk your ass over there with the Master Chief, you know, so.
Yeah, just hop your way there.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, what have you been playing lately?
So unlike you, who's been playing a lot of recent games, I actually dialed back the clock and have been playing some older games. The most notable one would be Greedfall.
Yeah.
I've also been playing Stardew Valley. So I'll put that out there. Stardew Valley is back on the table and I'm playing it a bunch again. My farm is kicking. But most of my time has been with Greedfall, which is a game that came out in 2019, developed by Spiders. It was kind of like a low-key, I guess it's a AAA, but more AA, I would say, RPG.
Right, yeah.
And I got it a couple years ago, and I was really excited about it, but then the Switch happened right around the same time, so I never actually got to fully play it because I got the Switch and got distracted with everything that the Switch brought. But it's been a fantastic little RPG to kind of fill in the gaps between these major releases. It's nothing stunning.
Right.
But honestly, it's got a nice little combat system, and the skill tree is pretty cool. Like, you can build yourself to either be a gun shooter kind of mechanic with traps, or you can be straight melee with heavy weapons or single-handed weapons like swords, or you can do the magic route. And so, like, and you really have to pick which one you're going to do, I'll say that. And you played Greedfall, so you're slightly familiar with that skill tree. But one of the best things about it, and I'm happy that I've gone back and played it, is the interactions with the various factions and the NPCs. It, maybe it's because we've been playing so much Dungeons & Dragons lately that I'm just constantly jonesing for that type of experience where I can interact with an NPC and make a decision and either influence them one way or another and have that impact the overall story. But that has been far and away the best part of the game is interacting with the NPCs, the various factions, having them betray you or join you and your reputation with them going up or down. And then that ultimately impacts which people are on your party and what they do and the future side quests. So it's been a solid little game, just like I said, to fill in the gap while I'm waiting for something bigger to come along.
Yeah, I think AA level was a good way to put that because it was close to being top tier, you know, but just never quite got there. I would love to see them do a Greedfall 2 because I did enjoy Greedfall and there was a lot to like with the decision making, like you said, the story and the combat. But if they were to circle back and almost just give it that extra 10 to 20% of polish and just go a little bit deeper in some of the things that you could do or some of the mechanics they created, I think that would be a top-tier game. I'm thinking back, it's been a while. I want to say that I played a magic character. Like, I remember just, like, throwing fireballs or something at everybody running around in my very, you know, elegant attire because, you know, it has kind of that, like, medieval Victorian era almost type.
Yeah, it's the whole story is based around, like, colonization.
Yeah, there you go.
You're a one party faction, you come to an island and you're basically, it's been 15 years of various factions colonizing this island. So there's like a religious faction, there's a merchant congregation, there's a coin guard, which is more of your soldiers that are mercenaries for hire. Of course, there's the natives to the land that have a lot of subgroups because there's different tribes. So, and you're interacting with all of them. So, I do believe I went magic this time because last time I ended up really focusing on the guns and the traps because I thought that would be kind of cool to bring this steampunk-esque vibe to a game like this.
Sure.
And I don't think I was experienced enough to really take on a game of this size and style and do something that is very niche. So this time I'm more traditional. I've got a heavy axe, but I'm mostly a magic user. And I very recently unlocked the beginning stages of firearms.
Okay.
So I have a pistol. I use a pistol, but the majority of my attacking and defense is magic based. And then I've had my party surround me as necessary for, you know, whatever I'm about to go do, whether I know I'm going to fight a creature that is going to be flying. So I put all my magic users for the range, or, you know, bring in old Kurt with his two-handed sword so he can just deal damage up close. It's like I said, it's been a ton of fun. And I know when it came out, Spiders got a lot of credit for being like, hey, this is a great debut. Like, it wasn't necessarily their first game, but it was an early stab at that AAA level, bigger game. And so I'm with you. I would love to see a Greedfall 2 or something else come out of Spiders. I do think they have another game on the horizon in 2022 called Steel Rising, but there's no details on it.
So we're not sure what kind of game it could be or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they go down this RPG path because Greedfall was fun.
Yeah.
So if they could, like you said, polish it up, do something a little different, there's a lot to like there. But that's what I've been playing. Like I said, Greedfall and then Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley is always coming in and out with my Switch. You know, that's just how Switch games work. They're great for pick up and put down.
It's becoming your old faithful.
Oh, yeah, that and Tetris 99, for sure. I like just the games I play all the time. At one point, it was like Civilization, but Stardew is very much that. And one thing I will put out there, they added co-op farms. So if there's any listeners out there that play Stardew Valley and want to start a co-op farm with me, please hit me up because I'm desperate to try the co-op farm mode out.
Build a Stardew network.
Why not? Why not? My farm is already called GK Farm.
There you go.
I thought that's where it was going to go, but yeah. Any listeners out there that love Stardew the way I love Stardew, please hit us up because I'm desperate to interact with somebody else while playing this game. Either way, though, that are the games that we've been playing now, but let's get to why we're here once again, and that is to look into the future. So we've got a few games starting out here in 2022. A couple have release dates. A couple do not have release dates. So we're going to run through all the ones that have release dates first as we know about them, and then move into some of those TBAs and which ones we're most hyped about. So starting off in January of 2022, we have the new Pokemon Legends game. It comes out on January 28th. Everybody is familiar with Pokemon at this point. There's a million games and offshoots like that. And one thing that I actually thought was kind of surprising about this particular Pokemon game, Chris, is that it is a totally different franchise in that it is a prequel.
Right.
I don't know if you knew that. I did not know that about all the different. So for some reason, I thought like Pokemon was Pokemon and it was like all one world. And admittedly, I'm a little disconnected from Pokemon because it's been a while since I really played one. But this one is a prequel to the Diamond series.
Yeah, I did see that they were going back because in the trailers they mentioned that it was a time before Pokemons and humans lived like as closely as we see them in a lot of the Pokemon games that we've gotten since back in Blue and Red. But I kind of fall into that category too, where like I always want to play Pokemon games, and especially the more recent ones because they just look like they're getting better and better, and then I never do.
Yeah. Same here. I've looked at Sword and Shield like a million times in the Switch store and just never done it.
Right. But I think that what's kind of cool here is that it looks like it's like a little bit more of a primitive take on Pokemon, and you really play a lot more as like the human in third person running around, and you're still battling, but instead of battling other humans with Pokemon, you're actually battling the Pokemons.
I saw that, yeah, and like the first time in the series that the human can take damage.
Right.
And like out and from a wild Pokemon, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so very interesting stuff here. I'm sure it's going to get pretty high reviews, and those that are into Pokemon are really going to really going to jump on board here. I have it as like a short list item for me of, you know, if it goes on sale, there's nothing else, then, you know, maybe I would pick it up because I do find that more interesting. But one thing that I really think is kind of a theme that we're seeing with the Nintendo games, and I'm kind of stuck in the middle on how I feel about it, is that they're all kind of giving me hardcore Breath of the Wild vibes.
Yeah.
And so if you look at the trailer for Pokemon Legends here, like, it looks very open world. It's got very similar graphics and design to Breath of the Wild. And then I know we've got another one on the TB announce list, so I'll just kind of call it out for continuity here. Kirby and the Frontier looks very Breath of the Wild. So Nintendo, I mean, it was a great formula, right? So maybe it fits in.
Right.
But it just seems like right now Nintendo might be kind of on that trend of following that success. So we'll have to see once they launch. But that's just like everyone I was watching on Nintendo fronts, I was like, man, Kirby Breath of the Wild, Pokemon Breath of the Wild, yeah, Donkey Kong Breath of the Wild, whatever it may be.
Well, I will say when the game, I saw that when the game released, a lot of fans were like, this looks totally open world. And mm-hmm. I guess some hardcores got a little worried about that. And Pokemon has confirmed that the game is not open world.
Oh, so it probably linear driven and just maybe a little bit bigger maps or something then.
Yeah. It was confirmed on back in October that the game is not. It was kind of like, all right, everybody chill out, it's okay, it has that look, maybe a bit of that feel, but it is not an open world game. But an open world Pokemon game does sound kind of cool.
Very intriguing, right? Yeah.
But an open world anything game also sounds pretty cool.
Exactly. But you got to be careful, like I just said with Halo, because that jury's out, you know? So
yeah, that is very true.
So more to come there on Pokemon, but that is kind of the biggest title that's kicking us off for the year 2022. And then really we get into maybe what is the biggest month so far on the schedule, which is February of next year. And early on, first week on 2/8, highly anticipated game coming from Slowclap, the developer that made Absolver. And that is going to be Sifu, S-I-F-U, which is going to be another very martial arts heavy. It kind of looked to me like the spiritual successor, like the natural progression to Absolver, because Absolver was kind of basic but had good combat. I think it was free to play.
Yeah.
But this looks a little bit more maybe linear, definitely up the game on the graphics, the details, and the combat looked way more in-depth, very martial arts, hand-to-hand combat driven. What did you think about this one?
So I was really interested in this one because it reminds me of a game that came out for PlayStation 2 called The Bouncer.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. And I didn't know if you would remember The Bouncer.
I do, yeah. One of my favorite PS2 games, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For anybody that remembers The Bouncer, they're about to be like, oh, man, The Bouncer. And
right.
For those of you that don't know The Bouncer, go Google it, because it never had a sequel or anything, I don't believe. But it was that third person and martial arts combat driven. The story was a little light, and I expect a lot of the same things here. It's going to be very combat driven, and so that's going to totally make or break it. I'm very intrigued by this game. Might buy it if like the reviews are just like this is amazing, and then of course if they're like mid-tier, maybe I'll wait. But I do anticipate playing this game at some point. Maybe I'll wait for it to go on sale, but just looking at everything it's presenting from the kind of that loose story, I like the graphics looks with the cell shaded bit and, you know, martial arts combat in kind of that open space looks cool.
Yeah.
There's a piece of the trailer, but I'll let you go ahead, but there's a piece of the trailer that I think really hooked me.
Yeah, to me, it's just about two things, right? I want to see how slow it plays, because sometimes these games can end up being like slower paced games, and how technical the combat will be, because Absolver wasn't terrible, but there were moments where you try to do some things in Absolver and it didn't quite go well, or wasn't the smoothest, you know, as far as the inputs and everything go. And seeing some of the stuff they were doing, I just had this, like, it almost made me think of like Tekken, you know, like where it's just a little bit more of a technical game, so that way you can actually do all the moves. And I could see that maybe being a little frustrating if it's not done well. So that's just me speculating. But when I was watching through the videos and the gameplay here, that was like the first thing that came to my mind, is really how is that going to feel?
Right, yeah. Very true. If it becomes too bogged down, which I think was the problem with Absolver, because you and I played Absolver for a little bit, but it just ended up being like a little too much and a little too out of reach, but especially when you got into other people that were had spent some time with it. And so you would start with no weapons, and as you found and beat people, you could take weapons, you could take armor and build yourself up. But if you ever came across somebody that knew what they were doing, like, you weren't going to win that fight at all.
You get wrecked.
So the piece that I was thinking of with this one in the trailer is basically the recreation of the Daredevil hallway fight.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, man. Like, you're telling me I can relive the Daredevil hallway fight in a video game? Let's do it.
There's definitely some vibes there. So that's going to be one, like you said, we're going to have to see what the reviews are. You know, Slow Clap is still a little bit newer. They kind of still need to earn that full trust. But it looked like a great progression for them. And it was a huge step up graphically and everything from Absolver. So,
yeah,
definitely enough to warrant some real intrigue there, especially if you're into fighting or martial arts type games. Could be right up your alley. Continuing here in February, though, I'm going to call it out just for the quickness. On the 22nd of February, Destiny 2 does have its next big DLC coming out, The Witch Queen, and not going to jump into it too much. I know I've got a rich history with Destiny, but I've been kind of off the bandwagon for the last year or so. Probably not going to want to pick this up, but I do want to call it out because I know a bunch of our friends that are still playing Destiny are pretty hyped. Say that there's a lot coming, that Bungie's still making some great moves, so that's definitely going to be another big release in there. But really, it's about these next two. On the 18th of February, you've got the PS exclusive Horizon Forbidden West.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, the success of the first game makes this one almost an instant lock.
Absolutely.
An instant lock. It just, like, the hype is real. The first one released with so little hype, really. It was just kind of like, PS exclusive for the PS4.
New and franchise.
Franchise, like no expectations, and it ended up being amazing. Like, the combat was wild, like a modern Turok with Aloy and her bow taking down dinosaurs. Like, heck yeah. So this one seems to take everything that one did well and just going to upgrade it and bring it more. Sometimes that'll fail a company because the hype gets too big. But this one looks really, really good.
Yeah, in the trailer, Aloy specifically says that now the machine dinosaurs are, quote, out of control. It looks like all of the tensions are higher, the risks are higher, the stakes are bigger. I put down here pretty much, if you liked Horizon Zero Dawn, then everything here looks like it's going to be equally as awesome, just bigger, longer, and uncut.
Yeah. Very nice, very nice.
But, I mean, it really just looks like they took that winning formula and said, let's beef it up, you know, let's go bigger. It looks incredible,
graphics
and all that. So, yeah, the hype is very real here.
Graphically, I remember when the trailer first dropped and Aloy goes underwater and dives into the pond and goes underwater. And I think we had a whole session in our one group chat and being like, this is the best underwater graphics I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, great transition. The world looks even bigger. You know, I haven't seen anything specifically like that's just like, oh, they're changing this or they're doing that. And that's why it's a little hard to kind of go into some of that stuff right here at this moment in time. Because, I mean, really, it just looks like more.
Yeah.
You know, like that's really the only way to really put it. I'm sure she'll get different abilities and there will be maybe some new characters introduced and everything like that. But, you know, really, it looked very similar and nothing too much stood out to me.
They did say they overhauled the skill tree and the stealth.
Oh, okay, okay.
And the combat has been completely overhauled. Now, I've watched some of the gameplay footage and a couple breakdowns, and I'm not, when they say overhauled, I think that's a strong word, but there is a new skill tree that's there. And then one thing I can say about the stealth is the stealth seems to be more centered around the type of enemy that you're fighting.
Oh, okay.
So there's improved AI, especially with the mechanical dinosaurs and the various tribes that you come across. And so that's going to impact how you get away from your enemies because they will track you and find you. And there's a more vertical kind of situation to the western side of where the story takes place. A lot of forests and rocks versus open desert, like in the first one.
That would make sense.
So while you climb, your enemies will also be able to take alternate routes to find you up top. So I think, you know, overhaul might be a strong word, but, you know, maybe just increasing what was already there.
Yeah.
And using the word overhaul just to sell it.
Sounds more like a refinement, because I remember back in the first one, yeah, like they taught you that stealth was important and you could definitely use it. And early in the game, it was helpful because you're kind of weak. You could die early.
Yeah.
But I remember as I got more powerful and you kind of figured things out, stealth was kind of thrown to the wayside because you could pretty much take on anything more, you know, heads up if you wanted to. So I do like that, though, because situationals, especially in some of these big games, that situational requirement of hitting certain mechanics and things, I think, becomes more and more necessary. So that way you don't just have something in here that you can completely blow off, like make me adapt, make me come back around. And so that is good to hear.
Yeah. The other piece that I saw was new was how your skill tree interacts to what you're wearing. And I think there's going to be various builds
so you go do
certain things. So if I'm wearing, you know, before you would get a boost for wearing a particular outfit. But now, from what I kind of saw, that if you wear the right outfit with the right upgrades to your bow or your spear, the combination gives you a further upgrade.
Gotcha.
So you really got to like, okay, I'm in this area, so I need to change, you know, everything and rework what weapons I'm taking in and rework the outfit and the armor that I'm going to wear into this situation to really maximize what I need. Because I, like you said, you get to a point in the first game where it doesn't matter. Like, your skills are so attuned to the various enemies that you can kind of take on anyone at any time.
Yeah.
And not be worried about dying. So hopefully, you know, they take that next level and you really have to strategize.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to be sweet, but the challenge here is going to be that it comes out 7 days before the next big release, which personally might be the one that I am most excited for. Maybe the most excited I've been for a game in a long time, but that is Elden Ring coming out on February 25th. And I'm telling you, Kyle, I am going to try and crush Forbidden West as fast as I can.
Yeah.
So that way I can turn my attention to Elden Ring before, you know, my new DLC baby, I'll call him that, you know, it comes in March, and that sucks up all of my gaming time. But, you know, Elden Ring is another one that you could almost throw in there, bigger, longer, and uncut, because it is another game from Software, which,
yeah,
of course, does the Dark Souls games. And, you know, those are traditionally very difficult. They're also very linear and kind of drive you through one path. And with Elden Ring, they are turning that upside down and going full open world. I mean, this game with the trailers looks like a, you know, evil rated M version of Breath of the Wild in a lot of ways. Melee combat, lots of exploring, lots of monsters. I know you're not a Dark Souls guy, but have you had any thoughts on what you've seen on Elden Ring?
I am not a Dark Souls person, you know, and I don't really play From Software games, but I will say everything you see in the trailer or hear about this game, it ticks a lot of boxes. Because it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's open world. Like you said, a rated M Breath of the Wild. Like, that sounds awesome. And then you hear the lore and how the game was built with, you know, George R.R. Martin come in and building the lore and legacy of this land. That's crazy. Also, the collaboration with Bandai and Miyazaki, the game director.
Right,
like,
yep.
It just got all the right pieces to make a 5-star game.
Yeah, it could be game of the year and something we talk about for a long time. On the flip side, just to be, you know, totally fair, is that the expectations are so high that, you know, there's always the chance that it could flop, I guess. But I don't see that happening here with the just quality of those that are making it. I mean, From Software, they've struggled to put out a game that wasn't, you know, an 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10. And so I have no reason to expect anything less here. I thought that, yeah, the R.R. Martin piece originally when they first announced that was so interesting because Souls games have lore built into them. And of course, the fan community have definitely kind of expanded on some of that over the years. But they're mostly just about the combat, really. Like, the lore is kind of the afterthought, or it's given to you in mysterious ways, you know, throughout the game. And I'm expecting some of that to happen here, but you got to imagine that with somebody like R.R. Martin, you know, his storytelling capabilities coming in, that lore and story are going to be a little bit more front and center here. And so I really want to see how that shakes out in a From Software game.
For sure. Well, and I look at it this way. We talk about it all the time. You have to give us a reason to either trust you or to not trust you. And every single person involved or developer involved in this game has never given us a reason to not trust them.
Right, right.
With what they're doing. So that makes everything that much more exciting and really solidifies that this is going to be something that is high quality.
Right. The last thing for me that I think, too, that I'm interested to see is how the open world concept helps them attract new players, whether it's just from folks that just like open world games a little bit more than linear stuff, or if it's from folks maybe like yourself who haven't played them in the past or maybe shied away from them because they are known to be some of the hardest games out there. Because to me, you know, just looking at how open world games are made, like I expect the difficulty to still be kind of high from the get-go.
Yeah.
But here with an open world game, you're going to have more options as a player. You're not going to be forced through this meat grinder in level one where you have to brute force your way through it and get the skills and everything right. So I'm expecting that there's going to have to be like easier encounters up front and a little bit more options if you wanted to maybe avoid that big guy you see off in the distance and come over here to this small group of people and get your bearings. And so I'm just interested to see if that helps just kind of grow their fan base or the people that actually play their games, because, you know, you might not have to go into it knowing like, man, I'm going to go through 20 hours of hell before I get out of the tutorial.
Yeah. It might be a little more accessible. Hopefully they also build in difficulty levels so it gives those From Software faithfuls something that they can really attach onto with this one and don't feel betrayed.
Well, I'm not saying betrayed so much, because if it's open world where you can really explore, I mean, there's going to be very hard parts.
Yeah.
And they said there's some dungeons and things like that I mean, expect to be maybe more like a Dark Souls level that we've seen. But just thinking about open world, like there's got to be more variety and enemy difficulties and stuff like that. It just usually is how it's kind of made in an open world experience. So it's just the question that I have. I mean, I'm going to play it regardless. I'm going to love it most likely. But I would love to see it attract more people to From Software games. Maybe that's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
I would love to see more people get into them because they are maybe the best game developer out there. I mean, they're up there, top five minimum, I would say, from what their history as far as quality, bang for your buck, get your money's worth gameplay, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, see how it all shakes up. You're going to have a busy couple weeks there.
Yeah.
Because even when we move into March here, there's a game coming at the end of the March that I know you're excited about. But at the beginning of March, we have the return of Gran Turismo.
Yes.
On March 4th, Gran Turismo 7, which is the first Gran Turismo game since Gran Turismo Sport, which came in 2017. So a long-awaited release from this series. You know, it's the classic racing simulator. It debuted, it was one of the staples for PlayStation back in the day. So I think a lot of people are familiar with the Gran Turismo franchise. But very excited to see where this one goes because the graphics look phenomenal.
Holy shit, the graphics look phenomenal. Like, seriously. Let's drop your freaking mouth to the floor. Wow.
Yeah. Like, next. It's to the point where if you are not a racing game fan and just enjoy video games and kind of the technology around it, this game may suck you in because it looks like a legitimate movie.
It looks photorealistic. It's probably the best graphics that I've seen. And granted, they're trailers, right? We got to see what actual gameplay looks like. But from the graphics they put out here, the trailers, I should say, it is up there with the best that I've seen across the board. I honestly think that if you were just to take a video, take that trailer and play it to like an unknowing grandpa or somebody that's just not tech savvy, that they would struggle to actually say like if it was real or not, you know, especially on like a glance. It's that good.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. But hopefully they can return to form and it's another success, because it does feel like Gran Turismo as a franchise has dropped off a little bit. So
we'll see
what they can do.
Looking at it though, I would say agree, but I fully expect this to be a strong return. I mean, just from what they've showed so far, I mean, huge customization options, global raceways. I mean, it looked like dozens and dozens and dozens of tracks, you know. Online multiplayer, the whole nine yards. So
yeah,
I do expect it to be very highly rated. It's just a shame that I just burnt my, you know, once every 2 years racing game fix on Forza Horizon, because I don't know if I'm gonna pick this one up right away.
Right,
but oh, it's gonna be tempting.
It will be tempting, and of course the single player campaign is there as well. So we'll see what happens. Maybe that's another mid-year, because we're going to get in as we move on here through the month. There's not much happening in the summer.
Right. First quarter's huge, and then it just drops off a cliff right now.
Completely drops off. But before we get out of March, there is Stranger of Paradise, the Final Fantasy Origins. And man, I feel like this is a tough spot for this game to come out for you, because I feel like this game would be a lock for you.
Absolutely.
It is a Final Fantasy game, but looks a lot like From Software type build, Dark Souls type build. It's just the timing of it all is tough because of Forbidden West and then Elden Ring. But man, just another action role-playing game, Team Ninja, Square Enix, the Final Fantasy series. Everything is looking good. It's kind of returning, a lot of people are saying returning to that Final Fantasy 1 era where the Heroes of Light and things like that. And man, oh man, this is another one where, I mean, I guess it goes without saying next gen, you know, in the next gen generation, graphics are always going to be phenomenal. But some of the gameplay of this and the combat and the sword play, this one's looking really sweet as well.
Yeah, it's going to have really strong third-person melee combat with the Final Fantasy storytelling. I expect that to be great. And then, you know, going back to that FF1 era, I expect us to get some new details and learn some new things and, you know, give them a chance to kind of delve in to some of that more than what we got back, you know, on an 8-bit game. It's supposed to have multiplayer too, which is kind of interesting, and I imagine it'll be kind of in the co-op or maybe a little bit of PvP similar to what we've seen in Dark Souls, but that could be very cool as well. All in all, you're right, this is probably the number two game on my list for the year, but just looking at the timing and with the other games coming out, I am probably not going to get to play it for a while. Like, I've actually kind of got resigned to it being more than likely a sale game or maybe a back half of the year game when life calms down a little bit more for me and I get through some of these other games as well that are going to come out a little bit before it. But it's like merging two of my favorite IPs together, Final Fantasy and Dark Souls. So I was really ecstatic when I saw this. I didn't get to play the demo, which I tried, and I just didn't get the time. I downloaded it and it was done before I got there, so I didn't get to test it. But I honestly have this as potentially a game of the year candidate that's going to get kind of overlooked. I think Elden Ring and Horizon and them, like, people are going to really kind of clamor to those. And there's a potential that this could slide in there as a game of the year candidate right there with them.
Right. Ends up with the bronze medal just because it released too close to two other just phenomenal games.
Yeah, but Team Ninja, got to give them a shout out. They're the ones doing this. They are the ones that did Ninja Gaiden. They did Dead or Alive. They've got a great history of making fighting games, combat games, and all of that. So I don't see any reason why this won't fall right in line with that. And of course, being a Final Fantasy game, Square, that's their baby. They're going to make sure it meets a certain standard. So should be a lot to like here.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, they hit the formula of that third-person action with the Final Fantasy VII. Well, I guess really it goes back to Final Fantasy XV and things like that. So hopefully they just keep building and add that level of difficulty.
Yeah.
Like I said, take it all next level. That's what all these sequels and expansions are about, taking the core gameplay and what you're doing right and going next level.
Right, right. I am really hoping that it's just successful. I think it's a game format that could fit really well in with the Final Fantasy storytelling and be a like different option from what we typically get in the core Final Fantasy games. So I'm just hoping it does well enough that they maybe give us like an FF2 game, FF3, like go down the line, right, and almost do this whole series where we get other details or other glimpses into these worlds from games that we've been playing for a long time without all the bullshit that's come with the Final Fantasy VII remake, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Wait a second, we won't tailspin on that one.
No, no. But anyways, so that, you know, we go from January, February, and March being really hot and heavy with all of these big, big game releases. And then right now, as it stands, there's not a whole lot that's on the list. Like, sure, there are games in April, May, June, July out there. But as far as top tier, really exciting options, there are not a whole lot that are on the list at the moment. So really, the next one we've got up here is all the way into August, August 23rd. Deep Silver Volition is rebooting Saints Row. And Saints Row is kind of like the little brother to GTA. A lot more people have played Grand Theft Auto, but I'm telling you, Saints Row, if you haven't, is a ton of fun. It's that giant, you know, crime-ridden sandbox type play. But what I always liked about Saints Row, Kyle, was that it had awesome couch co-op.
Yeah.
And that was something that GTA, especially like 3 and on, did not have. So I remember, especially in the college years, sitting around with the buddies, you know, running around in cars and doing that stuff. And it was just a ton of fun. So excited that this one's coming back. It's a reboot, so I think it's going to be very similar to Saints Row 1 if anybody has played it. The graphics and stuff are all getting a facelift. They're promising, you know, best-in-class customization and a lot more depth as far as character creation and things like that. But we will have to see exactly how it works out.
Yeah, we'll see. I can't say that I'm excited about it. It's just kind of there for me. I didn't play the old ones, and I don't plan to play this one, which is unfortunate because I know a lot of people really like it, but it just never been one of those games that has drawn my interest.
Well, I agree with you there. I was not big on them until one of my roommates at the time, I think, had pointed out that it had co-op, right? And we kind of got on this tangent.
Right.
And that might have been Saints Row 2, and then I know I picked up Saints Row 3, you know, a couple years later, and I played that. But I will admittedly agree, I'm not real high on this one right now. It's not going to be something I'm going to be pre-ordering per se. And while I'm sure it'll be a ton of fun, I actually thought that the graphics were a little underwhelming here. Like, when you see the trailers, you see some of the gameplay, the environment looks really good, but you look at the characters, it's looking a little GTA 5 era-ish, like stuff that we've seen for a while. And I don't, like, you see Hitman 3 was insanely gorgeous down to the details as a third-person run-around city kind of game. I mean, what we've seen in Forbidden West, Gran Turismo, Elden Ring, I mean, maybe some of it's just comparing them to these absolute gorgeous-looking trailers that we're seeing, but when you look at Saints Row, step up from previous era,
yeah,
not sure it's quite hitting current-gen standards that are being created.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're in that era where that is a, you have to deliver on graphics because you can go anywhere else and get like amazing, mind-blowing graphics. So there's become this standard in the industry that unless you're going for like a specific feel or tone, like you need to knock it out of the park with the realism.
Right, exactly. And then moving on from there, there's actually one that I think is a little bit more exciting here. Still a lot of question marks around it. It is going to be an Xbox exclusive with a day one Game Pass release. And that is the November 11th release of Starfield. Kyle, what do you know about Starfield here?
I know that I'm bummed that it's a Xbox exclusive. Is I remember a trailer dropping a while back, and I was like, oh, man, that looks pretty cool. That looks pretty fun. Bethesda. And then you guys had to be like, oh, Kyle, it's an Xbox exclusive. Like, always. Like, so that is what I know. And it's because of that Xbox exclusivity that I'm not eyeing it up more than I probably normally would.
If it comes out with like a 10 out of 10 rating, maybe we'll get you an Xbox. I don't know.
That seems unlikely, but if I've avoided an Xbox for 21 years the way I have, I don't think this game's going to break me.
One day, I can dream. No, I'll tell you, yeah, Kyle hit it on the head. It is from Bethesda Softworks. This game was announced in 2018. It has been out there for a long while, but with anything that Bethesda does, they take their time. So that's not overly surprising. What is really cool about this is that it is going to be the first new universe, essentially like the first new full tilt brand new IP from Bethesda in almost 25 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they've just been rehashing existing IPs.
Well, they do the Fallout games and those are huge, right? So you've got those coming through. And then, you know, they do have a few others that they've got, but they've stuck real tight to those core games that they've worked on. And, you know, they've had so much success there that, you know, it's worked for them. And here they seem like they're taking kind of a bold new step. There's a lot to find out about this game.
Yeah.
There is not a whole lot of detail as far as how the gameplay is going to work out here. But I'm telling you, it is looking really, really interesting. A, graphically, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It looks like a AAA version of No Man's Sky. You know, less cartoony and more realistic. They describe it as an action RPG that is set in a, quote, wholly new next-generation experience in a entirely new space-themed world.
And that is what got me. Like, I will say, it's that, like you said, an elevated No Man's Sky and this kind of intergalactic feel, colony war type stuff. I was like, yeah, okay. And then, of course, it says it can be played in first or third. And right. I'm like, okay, yes, because normally when you see games like this, it's first person only, and I'm out.
Right.
So seeing all of that, and that's why I was like, okay, this has all the right makings for a Kyle game.
Yeah. Well, that's what they've done in the most recent Fallout games. Like, the last couple of Fallout games they gave you, I think going back to Fallout 3, you could swap between first and third. And so that was always something that Bethesda did pretty well. They also went on to say some of the other little bits of information that we've got is that you play as an explorer trying to uncover the mysteries of the galaxy in, quote, the beginning of humanity's final journey.
Yeah, that how mysterious.
Right?
How mysterious. I like it. I can dig it. I can dig it.
Yeah, essentially this game, you know, I think actually could still have some chance for it to be kicked out. I think they've got a lot riding on this game, so Bethesda's going to make sure that it is pretty good to go, especially after the debacles we saw with Fallout 4 early on, and then I think the most recent one that was a little bit more multiplayer, you know, they had some issues at launch. So
yeah, they've got to earn their reputation back. I think we talked about that a while back when it came to Bethesda, that they've had a few stumbles.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we said with Elden Ring, there's so many players involved with that game that have earned our trust and have our trust. Bethesda's, it's wavering for a lot of people.
And where it's going to be kind of intriguing here is that, you know, in the Fallout games and stuff like that, you know, they're very much like you're on one planet, right? You're like on destroyed Earth and you're going around a certain area. Looking at what they've shown in the trailers, you know, they show you get into a rocket ship and leave like a moon or a planet that you're on, essentially ensuing that you're going out somewhere else. And then they've said that, you know, there's warring factions, like you mentioned, mercenaries, pirates, there's the settlers, like there's a whole lot of these other groups that you're going to encounter. And so I'm really curious if that means that, you know, this is going to be like a bigger experience where maybe DLCs bring in new planets, or you might have that freedom to bounce planet to planet and explore. But, you know, the No Man's Sky thing is almost without question, right? You kind of get that vibe right away. But just in the little bit they've shown, you get Fallout vibes, you get Star Wars vibes. I was even thinking The Expanse, like the TV show The Expanse.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
All kind of wrapped up here, so.
Don't have to sell me on a good intergalactic story.
Exactly.
Like I said, I'm in.
Exactly. So really hoping to see more gameplay out of this over the next couple of months as we get into next year. You know, November is about a year off, so it's not like it's right around the corner, but maybe like the quietest excitement of a game for, you know, with this one, like not getting a lot of hype from mainstream stuff, but you know, I think that it really could sneak out here and really kind of take over the game world once we hit the holiday season next year.
And that's probably why it's a November 11th release, and talking everything we said about quarter one being so jam-packed that they're kind of slow playing it because they know that the hype is going to be on all of those releases at the beginning of the year. So they want to let it settle down in the summer months, and then we'll really start to see the hype train get going so they can make that last ditch effort to get into the game of the year conversation.
For sure. Exactly. I'll tell you, 2022 could be seen as the first true year of the PS5 and Xbox Series X era. Definitely excited for that. Next up, Kyle and I are going to run through some of the top games coming soon without confirmed release dates. But before we do, we'd like to take a moment to share a special holiday message.
With only a few weeks left in 2021, Chris and I wanted to pause for a moment to say thank you and happy holidays to all our listeners, followers, subscribers, friends, family, and the entire GK community.
Your support means the world to us. It's what keeps us going week after week and gives us the passion to produce. We hope that wherever you are this holiday season, you're happy, safe, and surrounded by loved ones.
So from our family to yours, happy holidays and stay saucy.
Ho, ho, ho! So in addition to all the games that are confirmed for early 22, there are a slew of additional games that have been announced as coming soon, but do not yet have a specific release date set. For this part of our conversation, we're going to run through a number of the ones we think are interesting, but as always, be sure to hit us up on social media if there are others that you are excited about that we don't get to mention here. First up, let's look at a set of games that are preparing to bring the wrestling wars back to home consoles: WWE 2K22 and All Elite Wrestling. Both games have big questions surrounding them given the disaster that the WWE 2K games have been as of late, and the return of Yuke's developing wrestling games with their recent AEW partnership. So which one of these games are you most excited for, Kyle?
Well, I think it goes without saying, with our hype over AEW, it's definitely AEW. They've got the roster, they've got the edgy, gritty feel, and they've got the return of Yuke's. And like, so it's definitely AEW over the is it going to hit harder WWE.
Yeah, I agree. I was very interested in WWE 2K22 from the initial trailers that they put out. I mean, it did look very good graphically. They had the embarrassment with 2020 and, you know, pretty much just kind of canceled the 2021 game in lieu of working harder on 2K22. But between the AEW announcement, right, and the hype that's there, everybody knows how we feel about that right now. And then the fact that you couple in like all these roster changes with WWE that really should end up impacting the roster for the WWE video game that's coming up, I really think it all shifted. And now I'm kind of team Yuke's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100% team Yuke's. If you look at the golden age of wrestling video games, it's all Yuke's or THQ. And like, and I'm not sure where along the lines that they got away from the arcadey wrestling game to the simulation.
Right, yeah.
But I just, in my head, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't play a wrestling video game to have a, like, a Madden-type experience.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So I'm not even sure why WWE got into that direction, because it just doesn't seem to fit very well. So I'm super excited to see Yuke's come back, give me that arcade feel. You know, maybe you'll have, like, a presentation, a simulation presentation style, because that's always pretty cool in the WWE games where you go to do a move and then the camera shifts for a second and you get a very TV feel and then you're back into the action. That's always really awesome. So I'd like to see that stay. But as far as like button controls and everything else, I want that arcadey feel.
I agree. And some of it's probably because they've they've struggled to hit the nail on the head for the career modes in the WWE games consistently, right?
Right.
Everybody can point back. There was a couple of the Raw vs. SmackDown games and stuff that did really well with that side of the video game play. But most of the time, they've struggled. And really, what is the most memorable wrestling games, it was always those old school ones that were really more just great gameplay, great heads up against your friends on the couch.
Yeah.
And then I think back to like WWE 2K13 or 14 when they did the Stone Cold Attitude Era thing where like instead of going through a career mode, you like played through the history of the Attitude Era,
right?
And you know, bounced around, and like that was really awesome. So things like that can be done very well. But yeah, they've really struggled hard recently with some of that. And so, I mean, just all the momentum is in the AEW camp right now.
For sure, for sure. And I saw a little hype video for WWE 2K22 where they're like, we promised you we were going to have more information in January, but we couldn't wait. So here's a list of 10 things that is why WWE 2K22 hits harder. And I watched the video, and honestly, I'm like, none of these seem new. Like, they were presenting it like they were new concepts to a video game. And I'm like, so redesigned gameplay engine. Okay, from everything from what I can see, you're still a wrestling simulator.
Yeah.
New controls, they flash the button controls on the screen. And I'm like, I played 2K19. Those are the same button controls. And they were like, immersive presentation. I'm like, yeah, it's still a simulation. Guys, you got to give me something here. I'm like a minute into this video. And they ended it with the 2K showcase, like it was something new. But in reality, it was just like what you said with the Stone Cold, like, Attitude Era things. So that's not really new to me. And then my GM, my faction, and my rise. None of those are new.
No.
Those are not new concepts. Like, so what are you really selling me here, WWE? And so I'm nervous. And I think if someone listens to us, it may seem like we want WWE to fail. And we say it time and again, we do not. We want WWE to be really successful because competition drives success for an industry. But damn it, you got to give me something legitimate that hits harder.
Yeah, if I'm looking at the two of these, just given the recent history of 2K, they have to prove it. Like, I'm going to have to see that 2K22's got amazing reviews before I buy that, whereas I may take the chance and pre-order AEW. Like, that's right. Really where it comes down to right now, given the two situations. And I kind of just want to support Yuke's. Like, I was super pumped when they said they were bringing them back, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Good for them. They'd been out. They were still out there making games, but if I went and looked at the Wikipedia on their recent list, like, they had definitely shifted up. They were making more New Japan wrestling games for the Japanese market, some mobile games and things like that.
Yeah.
So they do need to prove themselves that they can come back and do the AAA American market game, but, you know, I'm willing to take that chance a little more than seeing the slow decline of what has been 2K games lately, from WWE to NBA. I mean, go down the line, really, they've kind of just declined over the last few years. So
it just hasn't been good. And I know there's some question marks on the AEW game graphic wise. When it first came out, people were making fun of how like puffy some of the character models were.
Yeah, but they were early. They were like pre-alpha, you know?
Yeah, I was like, I think they're going to smooth this out. And if they don't, but they lean into that look and that feel and everybody's like way too beefed up and muscular, like, then okay, you've picked that tone.
Yeah,
so
I'm fine with it. I wasn't too worried just because, I mean, that's how development goes. And so I'll just say it this way. Like, to me, I thought that they released those more for the hype train of like, hey, this is really happening. Because there for a while early on, like, it was kind of rumor and you heard like Kenny was talking, you know, like this and that, but you didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of put some of that stuff out there to be like, look, we've been working on this already for a couple of months. This is where we're at today. And then more to come down the road, because there's no way that's going to be the final look in this era. You know, I just don't believe that. So
yeah, they'll polish it up.
Yeah. So those are two games, you know, that we got to wait and see where they're going to come out. Moving on here on the list of games that are on the horizon, you got God of War Ragnarok, which of course will be another big PS5 release, and it's got some big anticipation coming off of the success of the last God of War game. You've got Gotham Knights, and then you've also got Suicide Squad Destroy All Heroes from the, you know, Rocksteady and WB Games Montreal, who collectively have brought us the different Batman Arkham games over the years.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know which one. Well, I don't know which one you're more excited for.
I'll put it this way. I was like way excited for Gotham Knights early on, right? So because that we got that information in that trailer before Suicide Squad came out. And so just seeing that and knowing how good the Batman games are, give me all the side characters, right? Sweet. But when Suicide Squad dropped and then when they came out and they gave us the whole Kill the Justice League premise and the fact that you are going to be hunting down the heroes, I completely shifted. I'm still going to play Gotham Knights at some point, but right now, like if these two were to come out on the same day, I would pick Suicide Squad solely because I think their premise is more interesting right now.
Okay. I'm torn because I actually think I'm more hyped for Gotham Knights.
Well, that makes sense. You're like a huge Bat Family, Robin, Nightwing. Yeah, like, that is like, yeah.
But on the other side of that, like WB Montreal has Gotham Knights and Rocksteady has Suicide Squad. And if you do look at the history of those Batman Arkham games, the Rocksteady ones tend to be a little more positively received.
Mm.
Not that WB Montreal has ever done anything hateful, but there are a couple people out there that really do not like Batman Origins.
Gotcha. Okay.
And WB Montreal was the Batman Origins or Arkham Origins in that series. So I think that may sway some people. And I do wish I could blend it. Like, no hate to WB Games Montreal, but I kind of wish I was getting the Gotham Knights on the Rocksteady side and Suicide Squad on the Montreal side. But
gotcha.
Alas, I am leaning Gotham Knights because it's Bat Family. It is literally like three playable characters are all top 10 superheroes for me in Nightwing, Red Hood, and Tim Drake's Robin. Like if it were Damian, if they somehow mix Damian in there. And of course, Barbara Gordon as Batgirl is on that roster too. Like, that is just a lock. Like, there's just no question. This game could be everything that has come out so far could be terrible looking, and I'd probably still be like, "Yeah, I don't care. I'm gonna get to play as Nightwing, so I'm gonna play this game."
Yeah, I mean, I do think both are gonna be pretty good, and I do expect them to be fairly similar, you know. And so that was exciting early on. Plus, the multiplayer aspect that both these games seem to be having,
yeah,
you know, kind of a little bit more front and center than what any of the Batman games had, I think also helps. I was completely the opposite. Like literally like 6 months ago or whatever, when this stuff first came out, I was team Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest Suicide Squad guy as far as like characters and stuff go, but I just think that when you have these games that are going to be kind of similar and similar to stuff that we've gotten for a couple of years, it's just about that premise now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't care so much. I mean, it looked great. Like, the Game Awards trailer just came out. They showed us some gameplay for Suicide Squad, seeing Captain Boomerang, Deadshot, Harley Quinn, and King Shark in that team of four. Looked really fun. But, I mean, it's just that premise, man. Hunting down the Flash, hunting down Superman. Like, when have we gotten a chance to do that?
Injustice 2.
Well, kind of. Different format.
Sorry. Fair. Maybe one of the Lego games. I don't know. I'm just being stupid.
Fair, but I'm saying, but different format of a game. Like, you know, here, a little bit more fleshed out, a little more story, a little bit more action RPG.
Oh, yeah.
But touche, Injustice 2, you called me there. But
yeah, the Injustice series, any Lego series. No, I'm being crazy. I'm being crazy. But I agree. And the story does look good, especially with like Brainiac coming in, invading Earth,
mm-hmm.
and brainwashing those Justice League members. Like it's all there and should make for some really, really cool boss sequences, because that's always one of the top tier moments of the Arkham Asylum games are the battle boss sequences. You think of Mr. Freeze in Arkham City, and the Deathstroke one in Arkham Origins.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the others, I think, the Arkham Knight, even in the Arkham Knight series, like that, those are sweet boss battles. So if you get to have a boss battle with Superman or the Flash or Wonder Woman or Green Lantern, because it's the Jon Stewart Green Lantern.
Right, yep.
Yeah, it should be pretty epic.
I'm just curious to see. I think one of the bigger questions is just how closely they're going to release these two games, because they could really impact each other just from the similarities they will have, right? Sometimes it's taxing to play a whole lot, you know, 60 hours of one game and then turn and play another 60 hours of like the same type of game. So I'm real curious just to see how closely they end up coming out, which one comes first, and then ultimately which one ends up being the better experience.
Yeah, and it might come down to story, because on the Gotham Knights side, you've got the Court of Owls coming in and the various talents.
True. I forgot about the Court of Owls aspect, too. Yes. Ah, man. So it's going to be tough.
We'll see. And everything they've shown, Mr. Freeze and the Penguin as well. So, like, the city as a whole, because they've said it's going to be an open world Gotham City for Gotham Knights. And that could be cool. I think the play style is going to be slightly different in that. With Suicide Squad, I think you're going to be able to like lock into enemies the way that you do in Arkham Asylum and Arkham City and the Spider-Man games to some extent, while Gotham Knights is going to be a little more free-flowing. That's how I've always... And the way... I said I've never played The Witcher, but I've played a little bit of The Witcher. And where like you kind of have that open swipe. Like, I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah,
like,
and you can hit multiple enemies or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll get that exactly. You can hit multiple enemies with a single swipe of your baton or a batarang. And then versus Suicide Squad, you're going to be locked in.
Well, and there is a clear, you can see it already, especially with that new Suicide Squad trailer, that Suicide Squad is way more ranged than what we've seen in the Batman games. You had Deadshot shooting a lot of stuff from a distance. You had Captain Boomerang shooting a lot of stuff from the distance. I mean, just the inclusion of guns in general really was going to set that game apart a little bit from a gameplay standpoint. And that seemed to make some sense, because you got to expect Gotham Knights is going to be a lot more hand-to-hand melee combat. Of course, they've got their gadgets and stuff, but
yeah,
just that's the style of fighting that you get with the Bat family, right? So that could be a real driving factor in how they both shake out, but... a lot to like. I'm waiting for dates on these, because I really do want to get my hands on both of them.
I anticipate one being early and one being late. And that may end up being like that April, and then another one comes out in November, December.
Yeah.
Because you're right, I don't think they can put these back to back. They're doing themselves a disservice if they put them back to back.
Exactly, because you're going to have a lot of the same fans wanting to play both.
Exactly.
Well, moving on here, we've got a big one that I don't expect any time until like 2024 or something, but Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 has been announced as a potential for 2022. You've got Avatar Frontiers of Pandora and Bayonetta 3. Any of these got you excited?
I think Breath of the Wild 2 is a natural one that almost everybody is excited for. I've played the first one, like scratched the surface of it, but I got the Switch and then too many games all at once. So I haven't been able to go back. Honestly, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora looks really, really good. I think it's going to be a low key, like sneak game. And then we'll see when it comes out, like in the year, and how much I actually play or get it at all, I guess. Because if it comes out around the time of another game that I'm going to buy and play, maybe I'm going to miss it. But if it's in that summer period where there's a lull, I could very much see myself playing this, because, once again, graphically, it looks pretty cool. That universe is something that we haven't gotten to spend too much time in. So I'd certainly like to go back and just kind of see what it can present to us.
That one is kind of like a watch. Like right now, I'm kind of like, I don't care. You know, it's just been too long since Avatar came out, and it's almost like a joke now on how long it's taking him to make the new ones in the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
But there are some cool aspects there, and I could see that being one of those ones that I, like, forget about, but then start hearing, like, hype on good reviews or whatever, and then get sucked in and play it anyways. Breath of the Wild, like, we almost don't even have to talk about, because, like, to your point, everybody's going to play it. It's probably going to be game of the year whenever it comes out.
Right.
But I was just excited to see that they, you know, committed and fully announced it. Just need more to come on that one. But Avatar is, like, a big question mark to me.
Yeah, we will see. It's, unfortunately, I know what's going to happen. It's going to come out, like, right next to Hogwarts Legacy, and I'm just never going to play it, or something like that, you know? I just don't know. And then Bayonetta 3, I'll say this, all of the Bayonetta games always look so cool. I've just never played them. So it's a multiverse, Kyle. He plays Bayonetta. And I'm bummed because that's not this universe. Because yeah. They all look really good. But I just never got into that franchise. So I don't know where to start.
I'm in the same boat. So if you're out there and a big Bayonetta fan, hit us up. Let us know what we're missing. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but it is expected to potentially come out next year. So I know that there are definitely a lot of people that are pumped about that one.
Yeah. Every time I see a trailer or a screenshot of any of those games, I'm like, man, that game looks like it'd be a ton of fun. I think it's like a hack and slash, which is like right up my alley. So there's like all these things I'd be like, oh man, you would probably like this.
Right.
Why aren't you playing it? I'm like, well, me in two parallel universes, that's who's playing it. So good for that, Kyle.
Next up here, we've got three kind of big ones potentially. There's Hogwarts Legacy, as you mentioned, Kirby and the Forgotten Land on the Switch, and then Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Ooh, I mean, the big one for me is Hogwarts Legacy, of course. Like, it's just Harry Potter. I'm dying for this game. But we talked about earlier, the open world aspect of Kirby is very intriguing, and it's been a hot minute since I played Kirby, and by hot minute, I mean since I played Kirby 3 on my Game Boy. And Lord of the Rings, it looks really cool. I'm just not quite sure. The Gollum part is the weird thing. What kind of structure is that game going to take?
Yeah, I was not overly excited about this, kind of for the same reason. Like, what are you going to be able to do? And then they released this new trailer just the other night, and it was still kind of a teaser trailer, but it made me think a little bit more about this game in the way that what they showed, because they showed, of course, Gollum being in the shadows, doing some weird shit, you know, being sneaky and conniving like he does. And then they kind of ensued before he took his action and killed these orcs by dropping a bunch of fire on him. It kind of ensued that the relationship between Gollum and Sméagol and that tear in his personalities is going to be front and center, because they were arguing back and forth like they do, and then he made his decision on how to deal with the situation of orcs coming in. So what I'm getting at is that I started to think that it could kind of be cool, because I expect it to be very stealth heavy.
Yeah.
I expect it to be very dark and desperate. But if they do it right, then maybe there'll be a lot of like choices in what you do and how you can go about things and what may come as a result of your choices. So I've read into that trailer a whole lot. This was just me from like a 12-second, cinematic teaser. But it just kind of gave me more spark on what this game could be.
And I would be down for that, especially seeing the success of the Guardians of the Galaxy game and how people are talking about the way you play through it and make decisions and the impacts. That would be pretty cool. The tough thing about this one for me is we know the beginning and end of Gollum's story.
True.
So what are you going to tell us here?
Well, and they call it like the untold story.
Yeah.
Which is even more interesting from that perspective.
Which is, it's...
Like, what is untold?
Yeah, what is untold? Like, what does that mean? Because, like, and Star Wars has proven that you can tell stories about characters when you know the end fate. And they're still exciting and watchable. So, maybe, I don't know, I just need to see more. And maybe that's what I'm getting at out of this game, is there's just not enough out there for me to make a decision on whether or not I actually think this game is going to be good.
Yeah, that is a good point. That is a good point. And I mean, that's kind of where Hogwarts is, to be honest, because like we've gotten so little on Hogwarts, like not to do too sharp of a left turn, but since we had them grouped here, you know, that was another one where we saw some very intriguing kind of initial trailers and looks and premise, but we have not gotten a follow-up as far as exactly how gameplay is going to shake out and, you know, whether it'll truly be single player or multiplayer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you see people do breakdowns on that game and they're theorizing.
Yeah.
And and that's where it's like really tough. So I'm a lock for Hogwarts Legacy because I'm a Harry Potter geek and I'm just dying for this idea of a Harry Potter game that's not tied directly into the film franchises like we used to see on PlayStation 1 and 2. So I'm a lock for this game one way or another, but I do hope that they start to release some information on what type of gameplay we can expect and decisions and things like that, because your brain can instantly run on the concept of an open world environment in Hogwarts in the 1800s.
Oh my god,
so I've got my house choices, I've got my what I'm going to study, I've got potions, I've got dark arts, I've got this, I've got that, I've got magical beasts, I got Quidditch. Like, the world of Harry Potter is so deep that, like, you can get ahead of yourself. And so until they show us this is really what you can do and you're going to be allowed to do and ways to interact with your environment, it's you have to almost like temper your excitement.
Yeah, it's true.
On the flip side, I'm a huge geek. So I every time this game comes, I've watched the trailer probably 100 times.
Well, and what's making it tougher is that, you know, the elephant in the room, there is the controversy with J.K. Rowling and all that stuff. And that actually impacted, like, I was reading just recently that there were words, like there was an interview done with one of the developers on this game, and he was saying that they have specifically kind of gone dark since all that happened, because this game immediately caught some slack because of all of the stuff that's going on with J.K., and so they buttoned up, apparently.
Yeah.
Like they have purposefully not really said much, released much, because I think they're trying to like let that all blow over as much as possible, maybe separate themselves.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of making it hard to track this game. And I almost kind of got this sense that like one day it's just going to get released and we're all going to be like, oh, Hogwarts Legacy came out, you know?
Oh, snap. No, I promise you there will be no, oh, I will let you know, because I've already taken off work for the entire week.
Of whenever, like, it comes. Yeah.
Whenever it comes. I anticipate it coming somewhere in April, May, because we're doing the whole, you know, anniversary of Harry Potter on HBO Max right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a new Fantastic Beasts coming out. Like, there's the Fantastic Beasts number 3 is coming out in April. So I think they're going to ride this wave of Harry Potter hype into the summer and that. So we'll see the anniversary stuff here as they celebrate the anniversary of the first movie. And then just keep that rolling as, oh, well, the reminder of the first movie. Here's a reminder that the new Fantastic Beasts is coming. And, oh, by the way, we have a brand new game.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good take. That could be good for them and kind of maybe sneak it in. Yeah, ride that train so it's not like a single target that can be just kind of obliterated by those that are not happy with that whole situation. So a lot to see there. I think it comes down to me is if it's multiplayer, I'm in. If it's not, it'll have to be like exceptional for me to play a single player. But really could be cool. I got hyped on the idea of just, like, wizard duels.
Yeah.
Like, right off the bat, you know? I'm like, that has to be in this game. If I can wizard duel my friends, that could be really, really sweet. I want to become the man, you know, he who should not be named, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you're going to go evil. Okay. I see how this is. I'm
going full Voldemort, man.
Yeah. And I think for me, I just want to play Quidditch again. Like, there was a Quidditch game that came out on PlayStation 2, which is a ton of fun. And you could give me a half-baked Quidditch, and I think I'd still play it.
All right, well, to wrap up here, we have just a couple of more. So there's Marvel Midnight Suns that got announced that could be a very interesting game. There's a retro throwback in TMNT Shredder's Revenge, which I know we are very, very hyped about. Just take all my money. And then we've got two new ones that were just announced that one is looking like a 2022 release, the other probably not, but you had the new Sonic Frontiers, like the Sonic the Hedgehog open world game, and then Star Wars Eclipse.
Yeah, I don't anticipate Star Wars Eclipse being a 2022 game, but the Sonic game, yeah, definitely that'll be holiday, they said, right?
Yeah, that's what they projected was holiday 2022 in the trailer. Really, another one looked like Sonic Breath of the Wild, or as some people were calling it, Sonic of the Colossus, you know, some very Shadows of the Colossus vibes. It's the most intriguing new Sonic game that I've seen in a number of years, like might be the first one I play in a while.
Yeah, I plan on buying Sonic Colors when it goes on sale.
Yeah, that one looked cool too. Yeah,
that game recently came out. I'm just waiting for it to go on sale, if it ever does, because it's a Switch game.
The only thing to really say about Star Wars Eclipse really was that A, it looked gorgeous in the cinematic trailer, and B, it's going to be an action RPG set in the High Republic period, which is, of course, their new big project with the books and the comics and everything like that. So I think that there could be some really good room to play there, or even flesh out some of these characters that are coming in the comics and the books. But absolutely, that's going to be a 2023, 2024, you know, type deal, because it was just announced just a couple of days ago. But I think the one we've really got to touch on, and probably fitting to wrap up here with, Kyle, is the, you know, spiritual successor, or however you want to call it, to Turtles in Time, one of our top video games of all time. The hype on this one is super real.
It really is. Before we do that, Marvel Midnight Suns does look really sweet for like a tactical top-down game, and it's card-based. I think that's going to be a sleeper. I think when that game comes out, if it hits the right time, I am going to buy it and play it. I think it's going to be a ton of fun, because I've seen some gameplay and the developers breaking it down and their thoughts around the characters and the stories. So I do think Marvel Midnight Suns is going to be fun. But you're right, the focus is absolutely Shredder's Revenge. It is so nostalgia-driven, with the TMNT arcade and Turtles in Time vibe, the side-scroller with the retro graphics. I mean, I think we've said it, take all my money. Just give me a release date and put it in the store, and I'm going to pre-order it.
Yeah, I really expected this game this year, actually, because typically some of these, you know, indie games, retro games, like just games of this style, don't have this long of a development timeline. But we did not get it this year, and we currently do not have a specific release date for it for 2022. So, but at the same time, take all the time you need. Make sure this is a game that we can play for the next 30 years as one of our favorites, because, you know, Turtles in Time, that side-scrolling action game, is always so much fun. And this looks right in there. I mean, it's got the same style, the same look, the same gameplay. A little bit bigger, you know, a little bit better, a little bit more modern as far as its smoothness. You know, I'm thinking Streets of Rage 4 recently came out, and it was very much in line with the games of old, but did have a little bit of the benefit of modern engine, you know, and all of that. So that's really what I'm looking for here with Shredder's Revenge.
No, absolutely. And it got announced back in March, and I remember that trailer being so fleshed out. I was like, man, well, this is coming out in 2 months. Like, I don't know how I missed it, but this game must be coming out in the summer. And then I think I Google TMNT Shredder's Revenge release date like once every other week.
Just make sure you didn't miss it.
See if I didn't miss anything. And I know that the most recent thing was they announced in August that April O'Neil was going to be a playable character.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty
really cool.
Yeah, that'd be a fun little twist. It'd be really sweet if they kind of flipped the script and made Shredder and Rocksteady and Bebop playable as well.
Casey Jones,
like, that would be awesome. I mean, you don't have to sell us on TMNT.
Yeah.
I don't have to sell anybody on TMNT. It's on the rise again. Like, we talked about it a couple weeks back when we talked about Secret of Ooze, how there's this kind of rise and fall of TMNT over the years as different generations and parents grow up and then get their kids into it. And we're ready for another TMNT comeback. And this one is going to be a lock. It's going to be multiplayer. I think they announced that in the trailer. So we're going to get it. We're going to push all of our friends to get it. You know, and I can't wait to do some side-scrolling couch co-op, you know, with everybody online.
Well, I was just going to say, that's really the only question, was if it's going to actually be online multiplayer. And I don't know if I've seen that was confirmed. I did see local multiplayer, but if they can go online multiplayer with something like this, then even better.
Oh, if they're going to do a TMNT online arcade one-up machine, then they need to make this one online.
Right, yeah.
And I understand that's two completely different companies, but I don't care. This one, this game can't not be online. And hopefully that's why it's taking so long, because somebody somewhere was like, wait, you didn't develop online? No, go back. I send it back. Give me online.
It's true. Well, lots to be excited about as far as these games. I just need dates. We just need dates.
Just need dates, indeed. But 2022 should be another strong year for video games as developers hit their stride with these next-gen consoles. As always, hit us up for the games that you are the most excited about, or maybe ones that we didn't talk about today that you want us to chat about in the future.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this discussion, go ahead and smash the subscribe button so you never miss a chapter of Geek Ketchup, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to follow GK on social media. You can find links to all of our accounts on the show notes below and on our website, geekketchuppodcast.com. There's even links to our merch store and Patreon if you'd like to support the show. But as always, remember to stay saucy, you nerds.